T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wonderful city of Chicago.
The bridges are down and the sun is coming up.
Thank you, Nina. I needed that.
Yes.
I feel like you in your car. Spent. Yeah. Exhausted. You know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I think it's fair for me. I think it's okay for me to say that. And it's okay for you to say that too in the car.
I think it's 100% fair. And then it's in that moment too. It's like you need to do something for yourself to get that energy back. You need to do something for yourself just to feel at peace for a second, you know?
You said you got off social media yesterday. What do you feel like was the motivation behind that?
I needed to sit with my own thoughts, I think was my motivation behind that. It's overconsumption, but that's good, right? Because I think that most of the days when we're scrolling, you're seeing different things. And now we're seeing a lot of information. We're seeing images. We're seeing people's opinions and, you know, all of that kind of stuff that you question or you agree with and you keep going. And then I would find myself going to Google and finding articles and then you just keep going, which was great. And I'm glad that I've been doing that. And, mm-hmm. and you guys all out there that have been posting thought-provoking things. And I needed to sit with that, though, right? Like,
yeah.
You got to program yourself. It's like you can read it and take it in, but then I needed to feel it. So I sat on my patio yesterday and just stared outside and, you know, still hearing sirens, much like all of you.
And you weren't high? Staring off into the
no,
space? No. Okay.
I wasn't high. I promised myself I would stay sober yesterday because I have to be honest. I don't have a problem, but I've been drinking a lot.
It's okay.
And yesterday I didn't. I wanted a clear mind.
Yeah.
I wanted to process. So I put my phone down. Actually, I stopped returning messages and I stopped answering the phone, all of that too. I just couldn't. I was by myself in silence yesterday.
Yeah, it was a lot. I mean, yesterday after the show. I mean, listen, if you didn't get an opportunity to hear the show yesterday, it's funny because, you know, we're live on the radio and we're not necessarily privy to the sentiment of the audience as they're listening to our words in real time.
Right.
Right. Because we're talking just like if we met you somewhere, we'd have a conversation. It's literally the exact same thing we're doing. There's just two microphones in front of us.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like yesterday's show was, I didn't realize how powerful it was until I got home and Nicole was like, hey, Monday's show was necessary because it was talking about, you know, the protesting and it was talking about, you know, what was going on in our streets. But Tuesday's show was a little bit more important because it actually talked about race, which is something that people don't necessarily do here on Chicago radio. They're scared of it. And scared of it in a way where it's sometimes difficult to create a space where everyone can come together and honestly voice their opinions about race in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult to do that. And we did that. And we tackled that for a large part of the show. So if you didn't get an opportunity, we actually posted it up online in podcast form.
Yeah.
So B96 is the website. Go find Gabe and Nina. And on there, you'll be able to, just even while you're driving, not right now, because I want you to listen to us.
Yeah, do it
maybe
later.
Drive me home from work.
Right. Have a little bath and listen to us again. But you know what? I honestly might go back and listen to it again. Just to rehear some of those things, because it goes back to that whole programming. Because I will be honest, yeah. I learned a lot yesterday, not just about the city, but about you guys, right? And about how you see where you live and how you feel about yourself in your space and how you occupy it.
It's so funny. Kareem, matter of fact, I'm going to play it right now. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who is a former NBA player, Hall of Famer, older. Super tall guy that did the hook shot all the time.
Way to describe.
If you know, you know. After that, and if you don't, you don't. So he was on with Jimmy Fallon yesterday, and the way he described racism in society, because that's what you need. You need it. You need these analogies so that way people can actually put it into perspective. So then you can have that aha moment. And here's what he said. It's actually very interesting.
One of the lines that stuck in my head when I was reading it. Your piece was, you said that racism is like dust in the air.
Have you ever been in a room and it's really dusty, but you can't see it until you shine a flashlight and you see all the dust motes in the ray of light? They were there the whole time, but you didn't notice them until the light turns on. I think that's what we're dealing with. Racism and bias in our criminal justice system, it has been there ever since the founding fathers, and something has to be done about it.
And powerful. I think, you know, even here in Chicago on a micro level, where you look at racism or you look at segregation, and it's something that's there. Mm-hmm. And every Chicagoan knows that it's there, but it's not brought to the light. And I think that that's important, where, you know, we have to make it okay to have these conversations and okay to talk about this stuff, because that's the only way you're going to be able to have clarity.
Oh my gosh, 100%. And there was a really interesting fact that I found yesterday too. I did post about it, and then I put my phone down. But I was Googling, like, yeah, books and understanding, you're hearing, be an anti-racist, and what does anti-racist mean? And so I'm Googling, and there's a book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, yes, right?
It's one of the top sellers right now.
It is, but the craziest part is almost all of the books on anti-racism on Amazon are sold out. My yeah. little book club, you know, we were going to read one, sold yeah. out. And to me, that said that people are starting to take the steps to educate themselves.
Yeah, and that's all that we as people of color can ask for, is that, you know, people take the necessary steps to become educated themselves, right? Because that burden shouldn't be placed on Black and brown people to be like, hey, this is why. And this, it's like, I'm not your history teacher, right? So you need to take it upon yourself. If you want to fix that situation, you need to take it upon yourself to go buy that book, to go have these conversations with your friends, so that way it's you yourself that is understanding. Because I'm telling you, it's going to shed some light on a lot of things.
And to be honest, I didn't realize, I mean, in you saying that and Nicole telling you and you telling me, and we've said it on the air since this started, that actually kind of put fire under my butt, yeah, because you can't expect other people to do it. You do have to find it for yourself. And if you can't get your hands on that book, just know this one thing, and I wanted to read it because I thought it was sure. really important. To be an anti-racist actually means to admit when you're being racist. And in that moment is when you can challenge those racist ideas and then identify problems and then process it and then start to make the change. So to be an anti-racist is to call yourself out and notice when you're doing that. I mean, that's like with anything yeah. in life, right? It's really that simple, and it's okay yeah. to catch yourself in moments when you're wrong.
And I want to make it very clear too, that it's okay if you did not know certain things were racist, right? And I think that that's a lot.
Yes.
A lot of people who don't cut slack for that, but I've done it too. A white tank top, I've called that a derogatory term for an Italian my whole life, and had no idea that that was a derogatory term for Italians.
Same.
And was just doing it because that's just what was learned growing up. And I think that, and I'm talking about, I was like, it's like 5 years ago, like 6 years ago. I'm a grown man, right? But sometimes you just don't know. But like you're saying, Nina, it's important that in those moments you actually can say to yourself, oh, it is? Oh, I did not know that.
Right.
Oh, okay, let me educate myself on those kinds of things and why were those things happening? It's important. So yeah, anti-racist, white fragility, there's tons of books. And if you can't find it on Amazon, there's an amazing website called thriftbooks.com. It's where I've been getting the majority of my books for the last 6 months.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. Thrift, I'm going to write it down.
Well, because the reality is, who wants to buy a brand new book?
Stupid. I still have your book, by the way. I got to give that one back.
Yeah, it's like you buy a used book and you go to thriftbooks.com and you can find anything there. I found tons of books.
That's a great
one. That's a great place to start, all right? Anti-racist, white fragility, Gabe and Nina.
Look at us, guys. The conversation continues and everybody is welcome here. It's Gabe and Nina on B96.
You tell us what you need to do.
Let's walk with us.
Gabe and Nina in the morning on B96.
Just so many positive protests not only stand going up on around this country
stand
still.
Up for our city by helping to clean it up and rebuild it.
I want y'all to look at the person next to you, and I want y'all to tell that person, I love you.
I love you.
Say it again.
I love you.
Say it again.
I love you.
It's beautiful.
It is so beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
You can do that today and not be a creep for looking at the person next to you and just saying, you know what? I love you.
Absolutely not.
Like, that's probably what we all need right now. Just something good. Feel it.
Some positivity in our city, you know, just around here. And you can be the vessel for that. You can be the one that starts that chain reaction.
We'll start it right now. I love you.
And I'm usually funny about that stuff.
I was just saying I love you.
No, I'm saying me personally.
Oh.
I know you're not saying it to me. You're saying it to the people.
Well, and to you.
Now I really feel weird. Now I really feel weird.
Telephone tone, I love you too.
He said thank you. He didn't even say it back. Come on, man. What are you doing? Come on over here, telephone tone.
No, it's fine. Thank you's enough. I don't need it. I just want to give it.
There are some good things happening in the city today.
Yeah.
The fact that I know it's overshadowed by everything, but the city is open today.
Right. It's kind of one of those things where you're like, wait, hold on. What is happening today? I was very thrilled to find that the bridges are back down this morning. It made my truck into work a lot easier, which was awesome. And then, right, businesses are opening again. And we're out here. People are
it's funny because
moving in the streets.
When you come to our building and you try to park in the regular parking lot, the first floor entrance is closed.
Yeah.
Because they don't want you to park in there. They want it to seem as if, you know, there's no parking. And then there's signs that say, hey, every car will be searched upon entering the building. Not our building, the one that's right next. Like, because downstairs you can see all that stuff.
Oh.
But you're like, damn, this is real. Like, that's how you know. So I have to go like super lower level whacker in order to get into the building.
I get lost down there every time.
I get scared down there too. Every,
like, where am I?
Every Chicagoan hates lower. They're like, whacker drive? Oh, I hate whacker drive. And you're like, lower whacker drive? Like, oh, I don't even know what is that. It's like a little underground tunnel.
And if you get lost, forget trying to use any type of like technology to help you get out of there, because it doesn't work.
At all. But the worst part is when your car gets towed downtown, because you're forced to find that place because the towing place is lower whacker.
Is it? That's not nice.
Oh, yeah, they had like a little lot down there.
I remember I had to have been maybe 20 years old. And at the time, B96 did Pizza for Plugs.
Okay.
And what it was is every Friday you could show up to the station, bring a pizza, and then you could plug whatever it was that you wanted.
That's awesome. That won't happen again, but that's awesome.
Not anymore.
Especially not right now, right in this time. Oh. So I remember we brought a pizza up because we were promoting, well, I used to be in a singing group. We were promoting our song.
Uh-huh.
So we bring a pizza to Eddie and Jobo, and they let us up. We come sing our song on the radio. Obviously, Eddie had no idea who it was at the time. And then we go about our way, and we come back downstairs.
Your car was gone.
Cars vanished.
No!
I'm like, damn, this stupid radio phony appearance. It was. They didn't even ask us up here. We brought pizza to go out here. And now I got to go find my damn car. And this is actually, B96 at the time wasn't here where it is right now.
Yeah.
Right now it's on Lake in Michigan. At the time it was on McClure Court over by Chicago and Michigan Avenue. So we were parked over there. Anyway, the point was one of us had to go back to work. So one of us just took a cab back to work. And then the other two, me and my friend Robert, we literally had no idea where the car was. So we were just walking around aimlessly
trying to
find where the car got towed at.
No.
Needless to say, we got lost in Lower Wacker, needless to say.
That's the worst.
I'm not the only one. On foot, telephone tone, on foot. But like we said, the city's open.
It is.
A lot of good things happening. And we'll tell you a little bit more about what's open.
What it's going to look like, maybe. Mm-hmm. And some other things the governor said last night. So we'll talk about all that coming up on B96. So the city is open. You rushing out to go try something, maybe some outdoor dining. You know, I think when we found out that was the plan, right? So these restaurants that we're going to be opening weren't going to allow anybody to dine in. You can only dine out, but some spaces don't have it. So now there's a little kind of test run that's going on. So different side streets in the city are going to be expanding and allowing dining to kind of move out that
little
way.
Alfresco.
Yeah. So it's like the little tables and stuff are going to be out there in the streets in six different areas to try it out. And then eventually different businesses can start to apply and ask for like the extension for like their patio.
Yeah.
If you don't have a patio, you know, they want other restaurants to still have the opportunity to have outdoor dining even when they don't.
Yeah. You know, when you're talking about just like Chicago opening up as a whole and what's available, I mean, you know, you're already concerned because of COVID, and that's probably putting a pause on you actually leaving your house and doing these things. And then obviously with everything else that's happening, I mean, it's like it's going to be tough to get people to come back to work is what I'm trying to say, right? It's not only the patrons that are going to these restaurants and spending their money, but the actual employees themselves to say, hey, you know, you got family at home, you're getting unemployment right now.
Like, yeah.
Come back to work and not make tips and only work part time. Like, it's tough, man. But we know we have a friend that somebody told them, if you don't come back to work, then, or if you don't want to come back to work even part time,
right,
then that way we're going to just cut you completely. And then that way that'd be cut off. I have another friend, Jesse, who runs, I don't want to say the restaurant, if you listen to the show, you know which one it is. But the reality is he said that he's a manager over there and he's telling his employees the same thing. He's like, hey, listen, I know you'll be making less than you're making right now in unemployment. However, in 6 months when, you know what I mean, we're packed and we need shifts covered, if you're not coming back right now, we're not going to give them to you. We're going to give them to whoever's here right now.
But it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
also understand not wanting to go back. I really yeah. do. So.
Well, geez, it's 6:30 on a Wednesday. And if you're a server, you're probably sleeping right now. But I'm sure there's got to be one or two people that are out there. And I would love to talk to some of our service industry professionals. Are you going to be going back to work immediately? Or are you trying to lay low for a little bit and just kind of, let's be honest, collect that check. let's be honest.
That's exactly what it is.
The phone number here is 877-591-9696. I'd love to chat with you just so that way you can kind of represent for everyone out there that might be earning more money on unemployment than they would if they go back to work.
And maybe that's just the conversation too, to look at both sides. Like in the long term, what is going to be more valuable to you?
Love it. 877-591-9696. Call us up. We'll be back. It's B96. B96, we are Gabe and Nina. Chino, welcome to the show from yeah. Chicago. How are you?
Hey, that's a complicated question right now, you know what I mean?
I hear you, man. I hear you. Let's talk first before we... First of all, you know what? We're going to talk about your job and that situation. Let me just check your temperature real quick, Chino. Like, talk to me about how you feel about what's going on in the city.
Well, first off, it's positive and negative. Now you're talking about coming with the city. There's a couple things going on, in fact, with the pandemic, as far as with the looting, as far as with the protesting.
Well, all of the things,
and that's just
all
it.
All the things,
Chino,
that you just
exactly.
named.
That's
like,
just it.
How do you feel? Right. Heartbroken, overwhelmed, optimistic.
Doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. As far as the protesting, I'm with them. As far as a lot of the violent things going on, at least they're letting it out in the open. And not hiding it, so we know what's happening and we know what we have to do. Yeah. And as far as with this unemployment check stuff, you know, the work is like, oh, yeah, it's safe. You know, come on back. You know, it's safe. And then on the outside of that, you got this pandemic that's just killing people. And that's a fact that, you know, that's happening. Government, you listen to things on the news and that you believe in, and they telling stuff that's not even true. They're saying one thing, the next week they're saying the number.
Yeah.
Government don't even know what's happening.
It's tough, Chino. It's tough to be in the situation. I think that's how all Chicagoans feel right now, and everybody across the world, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm dealing with the pandemic. I'm dealing with, you know, facing race in America firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worried about my unemployment check and being forced to come back to work by my employer. You know what I mean? And that's the situation you're in right now, Chino. But let me ask you this. Obviously, you're in a situation where you're probably, you know, making decent money on unemployment, but they want you to come back to work. What are your thoughts when your boss tells you something like that?
Well, my boss was like, you know, trying to convince me that everything is safe. And, everything's safe here. You know, you won't catch nothing. And then I'm thinking of my kids. And I'm like, well, hold up. You know, I'm a single dad. And like I said, all I know is people's dying. And there's a disease out there that they have nothing to help for. And new diseases are coming up. Mystery disease killing kids. And, you know, I'm just like, hold up, man. You know, I want to work bad like I was for so many years like I have. But I'm scared right now. And there is no guaranteed fact that when I come in, that I'm not going to catch something and be dead in a week. And my kids are alone. So what's the lick out of that, right?
Yeah, no,
okay, I sue the company and I make a sacrifice of death to make sure my kids are all right financially? You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's the saddest part about that is that it is completely real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy, just like most Chicagoans, are literally sitting there and thinking to themselves, like, what kind of sacrifice and decision do I have to make? Is it, like you just said, Chino, do I have to put up my child, you know what I mean, risk my child so that we have to come back to work? And then it's like, I'm getting this checked, I gotta get this money. There's no clarity and leadership and guidance for us as the people to be like, hey, this is what it is. The only person you're hearing from is your boss, who's getting a directive from his boss,
right?
That's like, we need to make money and we need to get people back to work.
It just does. It feels like there's not necessarily a right answer.
Yeah,
it feels like there's not a wrong answer. It feels like it's really one of those things where you have to just look into your soul, Chino, and just decide what is best for you and your family.
And I sympathize with you, man. I sympathize with you in that decision that you have to make. So, you know, I hope that, you can get some clarity in the upcoming days so that way, or weeks, I should say, so that way you can make that sound decision for your family, man. But I appreciate you calling in and sharing your story.
Yeah.
Hey, can I please say something else, too? Because this is very mental stress.
Yes.
And I'm sure not just on me. You know, and I'm sure the subject will come up in the future because of us getting what we're getting. And there's a lot of people that's not getting any money. And you have these bill collectors calling and pressuring you so hard to pay something. And you're worried more about, well, shit.
Oh, I would have let you finish, Chino, but you cursed. And then
we can't.
We can't curse on the radio.
I
hear you though.
I mean, I feel that. Like, there's a lot. It sounds like there's a lot of weight that he's carrying around right now, just trying to navigate through the days. And he's right. He's not the only person that feels that way. I think a lot of people are just trying to figure out what they're going to do day by day.
When you get a $1,200 check and your rent is $1,000 and you got to feed your family, it's an extremely difficult decision to make. And I know that some people listening, they got a stimulus check and, you know, it was put in the savings or they were able to do a bunch of things. But listen, there are millions of Americans that are literally faced with an extremely difficult decision when they get those checks. What am I going to do? And then that's what he's talking about, the bill collectors. That's when he's talking about those kinds of things. And it's extremely unfortunate. But that's why we open up these lines so that you guys can voice that, so that way you in the car can hear that and know that you're not alone in those situations. All right. It's Gabe and Nina in the morning on B96 inside of a hump day. It's only Wednesday, guys.
It's
a lot
okay.
more to go.
We're doing it together.
It's B96. Jimmy Kimmel had some very insightful words on white privilege and what that looks like to him specifically.
People who are white, we don't have to deal with negative assumptions being made about us based on the color of our skin. Whereas black people experience that every day. And so imagine, if you can, how frustrating it must be to have to prove yourself to be something other than what people assume you probably are every day. White privilege doesn't mean your life hasn't been hard. It just means the color of your skin isn't one of the things that makes it harder.
The color of your skin is not something that makes it harder. And it's something that, you know, a lot of people have to deal with day in and day out. And it becomes background to them.
Right.
That's their daily experience. So, again, I thought that was something that people should be hearing. And you know what I mean? At a time like this, I think it's our job to be as educational as possible.
And
so when you have people saying gems like that, you got to showcase them.
You have to hear it. And I think it's really important that he did take the time to do that so everybody can hear him.
And speaking of being heard, we have a young lady that will be joining the show in just a second.
Yes, she is a brave young woman who has stood up to looters. She is doing her part to help the community. She's very inspiring. You'll hear from her next on B96.
The song is called Mia. It's by Bad Bunny and Drake. Mia means mine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like mine. And I think when we're talking about our city, that's exactly what we think. Esta ciudad es mía. City is mine. And I think we all feel that way. And on the line, we have someone who also feels the same about our beautiful city of Chicago. Welcoming Bria to the show. Hey, what's up?
Good morning, Bria.
Good morning, you guys. How are you?
You know, Bria, I'm so happy that you decided to join us this morning. And how I found her is because she posted a very emotional video about how brave she was getting out of her car to stop looters. And then yesterday, as we were speaking, she was out in the streets of her neighborhood cleaning up and telling me about what she saw out there. So there's a couple things I want to talk about here. But first, let's talk about your neighborhood, Bria. Where do you live and what was it you were doing yesterday?
So I currently live on 82nd and King Drive. But the neighborhood that I grew up in is the South Shore, kind of like East Side community. I grew up on 77th and Crandon. I went to St. Philip Neri on 71st and Merrill, which is a Catholic elementary school. And so yesterday we were helping out the community on 75th and Stony Island, working at the Jewel Osco and the Family Dollar as well. So if you don't know, that shopping mall has kind of like a K&G, a DTLR that was looted as well. They have a beauty supply, the Family Dollar, the Jewel. The Jewel actually just got renovated, so it kind of looked nice prior to this. So that's where we were yesterday and just trying to clean up. It was a lot of trash. And if it sits, it gets the neighborhood even more dirty and filthy. It causes roaches and rodents, and then that becomes infested in our homes.
Of course, Brian. Let me ask you really quickly about the cleanup efforts. I mean, obviously, we're going to get to what happened initially, but what was the motivation behind that? Obviously, you know, are you just like woke up and was like, I need to find somewhere to go clean, or was somebody hitting you up? Was it a post that you saw? Like, what was that motivating factor?
So my boyfriend and I are both deans at high schools in Chicago, actually. Or I'm a dean at a high school, and he's a dean at an elementary school.
Oh, wow.
So we're very involved in the community. And so we've seen a post. True Fish is actually a Black-owned business, and they posted a flyer saying that they would be at the Jewel. But it was a couple groups, so Pillar Insurance, the firm, a couple other people on the flyer as well that just, you know, are active in the community. And they say, hey, guys, let's meet up here at this time, and we'll be, you know, be able to clean up the community as much as we can. And we saw it.
And so you saw that, Bria, and then you were telling me about the different kinds of people that also came out, too. How many people were out there with you, and what did that look like?
It had to be over 100 people, for sure. Maybe even over 200 people.
That felt so good.
And no, it was so great. We had the Greek community out there. I mean, we had Zetas, we had Qs, and some Alphas, you know, some women of Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority.
And everybody was Deltas, stepping while they were picking up. Everybody was stepping while they were picking up the stuff, huh?
they had waters, you know, and masks and gloves. So that's another thing. We're still in the middle of a pandemic, and we had to get out there and clean our communities during this time, but staying safe at the same time as well. So it was just a big, big experience, for sure.
It had to feel good to have seen that firsthand, though, for sure.
So powerful.
Absolutely.
Every different kind of color in the neighborhood helping each other.
Yes. I was going to say, it was not just Black people out yesterday. I will say, it was African-Americans, whites. I've seen some Asians. You know, I was just like, we're on 75th and Stony Island.
I've never seen you over here, ever, but I appreciate you cleaning this up right now.
I appreciate it. And, you know, and I think everyone in the neighborhood felt like a sense of, like, unity. And I honestly don't care. Like, if you went out and you looted, that's not the problem. Like, we have to figure out the next steps now. So let's get out there and clean our communities.
Agreed.
Let's figure out how we can start. I mean, to be honest, if you didn't like Jewel, then let's start shopping Black-owned. I mean, you know, and start putting that money back into our community. We got to learn how to recirculate our dollar. You know, the African-American community is the only place that their dollar does not circulate before it's becoming consumed. So
that's actually an interesting statistic.
It is, Bria.
And it's true. And I actually had a girlfriend bring that up to me. You know, the Latina community, it circulates 10 times. You know, the Asians, 20 times. You know, wow. So it's like, and these are real facts, you know, but she uses her time, even if she lives in the suburb, to come and travel all the way back to the city to try to put that dollar back in her own community.
I love it.
And so we that's what we're looking for. I just want our youth to be educated. Being a dean, that's what's important.
And Bria, they're looking at you, you know, as you're out there doing these things. The kids are looking at you, and I'm glad that your friends have this conversation, and you're telling us all about it right now. But what led up to this moment, Bria, for you and your boyfriend and everybody that was out in your community yesterday was the looting. And when I tell you that the video that I saw of Bria in tears and screaming, you got out of your car while you were driving to actually stop looters. What was going through your mind at that moment? That's so brave.
I just saw the, so if you don't know 76th Street, there is houses like that's on the right, the left side of that street that's right next to that mini mall. And I seen some older women just on their porches. And so I guess that's what led me to say, get out. There are people watching us and just letting it happen, and they look so hopeless. So I guess that's why I was like, you don't know this yet, but in 2 weeks, this grocery store is not going to get refilled.
100%.
And I swear to you, I understand the pain. I work in West Garfield, you know, so I work in the number one, you know, poverty community in Chicago. So when I say I understand the pain and why we going out there looting, so people probably haven't had groceries all month.
Yep.
But and they're not going to send the police either. And that's another thing. They're going to let you take it all out. And that's still a part of the systematic oppression that we currently live in. And so that's what I was, you know, getting out there to say, like, stop. We're going to take from our own community.
Yeah.
I'm going to be even more transparent. go downtown. You know, right. They are currently blocking off downtown right now because they are repairing any damages, and we know that.
Yep.
Because that is where tourists come. That's where our community, that's where Chicago gets its economy. It's touristy. It's all of that, you know?
Yep. Yeah, because when you think about it, you know, who's servicing those people, right? It's the black and brown community that are working downtown, that are, you know, making sure everything's running smooth. And so it does help out the economy in that way locally because, you know, we are the ones that are providing those services.
Exactly.
But you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's funny, like hearing Mayor Lightfoot talk yesterday and like trying to justify it. You know, but I think ultimately at the end of the day, you know, there's still anger because it still happened.
And it's like, I think while she's justifying why they're closing downtown, she needs to be speaking about and the reason why our police are still like not getting defunded. So that's a whole nother situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have so many tasks to tackle. My thing is, if we can start with our youth, I've been seeing kids outside picking up brooms and trash, you know, bags as young as six.
Yeah.
You know, out there cleaning up.
Bria, I think what it does is it actually gives you that clear-cut moment to face that fork in the road and say to yourself, as a child, as a young person, not even the adults, right? I'm talking specifically to the young people of Chicago. They get an opportunity right now to say, okay, am I going to be the person that's looting? Or am I just as disgusted as the adults and I'm going to go clean up? And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for them.
Absolutely. The last thing I do want to say is what we don't remember as an African-American community sometimes is that franchises exist. So although there might be a Riley's Auto Part, an AutoZone, a Jewel in our African-American neighborhood, somebody might be a manager that is black who actually owns that Jewel or owns that Riley's Auto Part. Yes, it's a big business. Yes, it's the white man's business. But they worked, you know, very long years probably to get in that position. And a lot of these stores that we looted, we put a lot of our African-American people out of jobs.
Yeah. And we saw that with even just like the Orange Theory that was downtown and the couple that got attacked during that. And it was black franchise, you know, so.
Yeah. I was going to say it was an ice cream shop that they have. My boyfriend, friend, it's a black owned ice cream shop that's downtown and in Hyde Park in both of the locations. And they worked their butts off to get that store.
Because the community just doesn't know, right? They just don't know. And in a fit of rage, they're going around expressing themselves how they know
and
how.
That's what we got to get out there. Start educating them.
Yes.
Let's start telling them what this is. I challenge everybody to go and figure out every store that's in your neighborhood so you can know, you know, get to know those people. My coach used to press me to go and introduce myself by name to every one of my college professors so that when I was in the gym, that they could help me out.
That's great advice for anything and everything. Bria, you're so knowledgeable and have so much information for us. Thank you. And honestly, thank you so much for being brave and standing up in your community
and doing that. That was the word I was going to use, not only for that moment when you stepped out to protect the community, but just overall as a whole, as a dean of students, as a pillar in the community. We appreciate you, and we appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your story with us.
You already know, guys. You know what? Keep protesting. Keep, you know, speaking out, guys. The youth, we need you, and we love you for sure.
Appreciate you, Bria. Thank you so much. Hey, what's up? It's Gabe. And listen, man, when we were talking about Wintrust Financial, and I think that when we're talking about investing in the community and using your dollars for positivity, I mean, why not use it in an account that's actually in your community? Wintrust Mortgage is all around the city, all around the suburbs, and they want to help you in your financial security. WintrustMortgage.com is the website, and they want you to know that they want to be walking hand in hand with you during this time, okay? WintrustMortgage.com. Again, check them out right now. Wintrust Mortgage is a division of Barrington Bank and Trust Company, NANMLS number 449042, Equal Housing Lender.
Don't put your hands in your pockets. Don't put your hoodie on. Don't be outside with no shirt on. Don't be out too late. Don't touch anything you're not buying. Never leave the store without a receipt or a bag. Never make it look like there's an altercation between you and someone else. Never leave the house without your ID. Don't drive with a do-rag on. Don't ride with the music too loud. If a cop stops you randomly and start questioning you, don't talk back. Just compromise.
Gabe and Nina, B96, if you're listening to that and you're saying, what was that? That was actually a list of rules that a mom had to give her black son so that he knew what to do and not to do in certain situations. And when you're talking about racism, we're talking about race, when you're talking about equality and white privilege, you're thinking about, I listen to that and I say to myself, you know, who had to have that kind of a talk with their child?
Yeah.
Not many people. In the 7 o'clock hour, we're gonna have some really positive things on this show. We are gonna be talking to Kaylin Risvold, who is the president and CEO of the Naperville Area Chamber of Commerce. They had a big cleanup effort, and we're gonna be talking to her, just her thoughts, what that looks like from a suburban aspect. And then shortly at 7:20, we're gonna be talking to Brittany Payton, Fox News anchor, daughter of Walter Payton, and my co-host on Bears Unleashed. She experienced. We can talk to a bunch of people about experiencing racism, right? But she experienced something that was extremely devastating just the other day in the middle of all this. And she put up a heartfelt, heartwarming post where, she was just bawling in tears about what happened to her. And I'd love for her. She's going to be on to explain what happened and just how she feels about, you know, what's going on in Chicago right now in the state of our country. And we'll be talking to Brittany Payton at 7:20. And then again, just after that, we're going to be talking to the president and CEO of the Naperville Area Chamber of Commerce on our show as well.
All kinds of things on the show today. A lot of real, a lot of honest, a lot of emotions.
It's the only way you could do it, guys. It's Gabe and Nina in the morning on B96. Happy Wednesday. We'll be right back. 7:20, Brittany Payton right here. Gabe and Nina in the morning on B96, Chicago's new hit music. What a week it's been in the city of Chicago. I feel like it's been such a stressful time and a stressful moments in the country. And a lot of people are doing a lot of dumb things. And, you know, I think the good part about B96 is that we've opened this up in the last few days to be a forum about a little bit about everything, even uncomfortable topics. And it's important. I think we need to have that. And I think that there's certain ways to handle that conversation. And it needs to be one that is inclusive, one that includes everyone and gives everyone an opportunity to speak so that way they don't feel weird about it and then hold it in. And then all of a sudden it festers up and boils over. And on the show right now, it's a friend of mine, Brittany Payton. What up, Britt?
Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning to you both. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
Morning.
Now, Brittany's. I almost said Britney Spears. Did you see that? It's the B96 in me that got me
She's
doing
like,
that.
Never heard that one before.
Britney is one of the morning show anchors on Fox 32 News. And then her and I, we have our show together, Bears Unleashed, that airs on Fox. So we've built a cool relationship over the last few years. And I was absolutely devastated yesterday. Just emotional, welling up in my eyes after watching your video, Britney. And for the people that don't know, I was actually super hesitant to reach out to Brittany. Nina was like, hey, we're going to get Brittany on the show. And I was like, I don't really know. I don't know how I feel about, you know, her and having to like relive this. But Britt, in the way that you want to, I would love for you to just kind of let the people and that are listening to our station know just like what kind of happened. And then I have some important questions for you afterwards.
Yeah, no. And I'm glad you reached out, Gabe. I told you, we're friends. You're my boy. You know, you can reach out anytime. But yesterday was an interesting day. You know, obviously there's so much that is going on in the city, and, you know, I feel like all of us have just been on this heightened alert of things going on and, you know, with looting and things in neighborhood. I mean, this is the first time that in the past two nights we've been listening to a police scanner each night just to see what's going on, to keep up, you know, just worried about ourselves, our family, our safety. But yesterday was the first day that I've actually left my house, really, since all this has happened, just to go to the pharmacy. I needed to go get some medicine. And my mom, Connie, who has been staying with us ever since we went into quarantine phase, we decided to just get out and go for this drive. So we went to our local Walgreens, and we were in line waiting as we were there. You know, they were busy running around doing their stuff. So I had to sign a little form to get what I needed to get, and we were just waiting. And then there was a vehicle that was waiting in line behind us. And it just seemed odd to me that the driver of the car got out of his car. And I just was keeping an eye in my window because, you know, it's not often you're in a drive-thru line that someone gets out of their car. It just seems a little strange. So, and he was standing there, and he kept looking at the car, looking at me. And then he started clapping his hands together, like, come on, you know, get going. And I just thought that maybe he was just frustrated with waiting because things were taking some time, you know, and he was just an impatient person. But then he moved around to the back of his car and he opened his trunk. So, of course, my eyes are watching because, you know, why is he opening his trunk?
You see a man going to the trunk. You're like, my eyes are going to be watching you the whole time, right?
You do. Yeah, you you get nervous and you're a little extra vigilant with everything that's going on. Not that I thought he was going to do something bad, but I kept saying to my mom, like, something's weird with this guy. Like, something's up. It's just, it's strange. And then he starts rummaging in the back of his trunk and he pulls out a watermelon. Now, my mind doesn't automatically go to anything besides the fact I go, why is he pulling out a watermelon?
Right.
Like, why is this guy pulling out fruit from his car? This is just weird. You know, something is not right. And he holds the watermelon up on the back of his car. And he holds it up towards me. And I'm looking at him saying, what is this? I don't understand. So he eventually is talking. There's a person in the car with him in the passenger seat. I couldn't really tell it was. I think it was a woman. But he was talking to that person, and he kept looking this direction. So he closes the trunk, and he comes back to the door, and he's still standing outside of his car and looking this way. So the pharmacist came and was there to give me my, you know, my ID, my credit card back, give me the medicine. So I'm reaching out the window to, you know, get it out of the little drawer. And he starts cooing at me and making noises like a monkey, like an animal.
Stop it.
And I almost just couldn't believe, because I'm like, is this for real? Is this really happening? And I took the medicine and we drove off, and my mom and I continued to talk. And if anyone knows my mom, Connie Payton, she is the ultimate mom there. You don't mess with her. You know, she's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And a part of me at the time felt a little upset with myself that I didn't say something to the man, that I didn't say,
You're in shock.
You have a problem, but I'm now feeling that that wasn't the right thing. There was no point in agitating or engaging with someone like that.
Especially at that level, Brittany. You know what I mean? You're talking about extreme ignorance at that level. And I'm actually really happy that you didn't engage in the moment, but it's a moment that is being used as a learning tool. Right. And I think that,
exactly.
You know, when you're talking about the state of the state right now, it's, and people being exposed to these things so that they can see it, people that are on opposite lines of the color barrier, and say to themselves, wow, I've never had to deal with that in my entire life. I've never went to go pick up my prescription, and behind me, a man would do something so degrading, like pulling out a watermelon and making monkey noises, right?
I can't believe it.
This is something that people have never to deal with or have to think about happening to them. You know what I mean?
And that was part of the reason, you know, I'm not one that usually gets super personal or, you know, post too much, but it just so happened when we were leaving, my brother had called my mom and we told him the incident and what happened. And he said, you know, B, you have to post something. Yeah. You have to let people know, because people need to understand that these are things that happen. And, you know, an incident just happened to him earlier in the week when he was with his son. He lives out in the suburbs. And it just feels that everything that is going on, I knew that, one, I was feeling so emotional about it, not because of the man, because that man doesn't affect me and who I am, but more about the fact that these types of things happen all the time and people have to go through it. And it's important for people to know and see that racism is real. It happens every day. I have so many friends and neighbors reach out to me after this and saying, wow, I'm so glad you shared your story. You know, I didn't think that this type of stuff still happened.
Of course.
But now you know that it does. Okay. And neighbors that have said, you know, I made my kids watch this. We watched this video with them together. Mm. And we had a discussion about race last night in our home.
Good.
And explaining why, you know, our friend or neighbor felt this way and what can be done different and how so many people feel this way. So it's great to see that there's some good, like you said, that is the teaching moment. And that's all you can hope right now. You know, there's so much going on in this city that we love. This is my hometown. There's so many great love and respect and people coming out to protest and peaceful and try and make change and coming together of all different races, you name it, and ages. And then there's that that's coming out too. We're seeing so many people in pain and who are hurting, and that is coming out in this city. But all we can pray for is that something good comes out of all this that is happening. And maybe the things that have happened over the past week and the unfortunate and unthinkable deaths of some people in this country that we are seeing, that this is going to be the spark that lights the match to see some type
of
change
happen. That's what we want. On the line right now, Brittany Payton, daughter of Walter Payton, Fox News anchor, my friend on Bears Unleashed. I'm so grateful that you're coming on the show and talking to our audience about this. Now, before I let you go, because I know you got to get back on the TV, What is your message, Brittany, after all this to the city of Chicago?
My message is, you know, Chicago, this is a time that we have to come together. We have to focus on the good, and we have to focus on repairing and working towards a better city and being better people, because we all, no matter what race we are, no matter what color, we have to be better. And, you know, there's so much going on, but it's so great to see people continuing to help their community, going out there, helping in the cleanup effort, helping to protect their communities. And we just have to come together as one. And this is a time to be better. Everyone check yourself.
Yes. Oh my God.
I love it.
Brittany, thank you so much for sharing. I mean, you sound so much stronger today, and I just think that we did need to hear that.
Exactly. Brittany Payton, go watch her on TV if you're headed home right now. She's on
so
Fox.
Sweet.
Thank you for joining the show, okay, Britt?
Thank you, guys. Love you guys. Be blessed. Stay
you
safe.
Too.
Guys.
It's unacceptable.
We all belong here. And check yourself. Doesn't matter what color you are, all right? It's Gabe and Nina, B96. Gabe and Nina in the morning on B96, Chicago's new hit music. You know, our lines are open. 877-591-9696, whether you have any questions, any comments about what you heard from Brittany Payton or what we've been talking about over the last couple of days. We'd love to have your voice be heard on our station. Again, the lines are open, 877-591-9696. And we're talking about not only what's going on in our city, but also our surrounding areas, including suburbs like Naperville. And on the line, we have President and CEO of Naperville Area Chamber of Commerce, Kaylin Rizval. Good morning, Kaylin.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're happy to have you joining us right now. Again, this is Kaylin Rizval. She is the president and CEO of the Naperville Area Chamber of Commerce. And we brought her on to talk to us about what's been going on in Naperville. And we know that your community has been really coming together to help clean up. But what have the past few days in Naperville looked like?
Oh, goodness. The past few days have been very interesting. We had a wonderful peaceful protest Monday afternoon. Hundreds of people came out, spoke with some of our mayor, some of our city councilmen and our city leaders, and just really had the beginning of some good, productive conversations.
Yeah.
Protests continued. We did have a curfew set up for 9 o'clock Monday night. Things got a bit crazy, and we had more than 30 businesses damaged. Windows broken, some stores were looted, and it was a really difficult time. There's a lot of hurt and anger and pain on all sides, and it's really heartbreaking on many different levels. But the good news is what happened yesterday morning. We put out a call on Facebook, bring a broom and come downtown. And oh my goodness, there were more than 700 people who showed up by 7:30 yesterday morning.
Now, let me ask you this, because it's hard to get the community involved in anything. Have you ever had 700 people show up to anything you've put out there?
Oh my gosh, no. And people were showing up right at like 7:30, frustrated that the cleaning was over.
Oh,
they're like,
God.
What? I brought my broom. I want to clean. What do you mean it's cleaned up?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, it's often, Kaylin, that people do not necessarily know what to do. So when community leaders are out there leading the charge and giving them the objective, it's so amazing how many people will follow it.
And people want to help. They really do. So once people realize the cleaning, they got in their cars and they got coffee and water bottles and donuts. And then there's helpers helping the helpers. It was just beautiful.
I love to hear about communities coming together. I mean, we've spent a lot of time talking about what's been going on in the city of Chicago right here, but Gabe always says it. We're not just saying Chicago. We're saying everything around Chicago.
Chicagoland area.
The area. And that includes Naperville. And, you know, it's really beautiful to see the people coming together like that. And now, Kaylin, in your position, because, you know, you're rallying the troops. Like, do you have any thoughts or plans for what this may look like in the next coming days or even moving forward with the protests, the peace, the conversations? What does it look like for you and the people around you?
Sure. There's a lot going on, and everything changes by the millisecond. But one thing, so I started this position at the Naperville Area Chamber of Commerce in October, and diversity is a huge passion of mine. And I started a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee. We met for the first time in January. We've been regularly are holding programs on good conversations. The committee met for hours yesterday figuring what we can do to, again, help lead the charge for impactful and meaningful change. So those conversations are happening. We've had talks about getting community leaders together to, again, figure out change needs to happen. What does that look like and how can we make sure it lasts? So those conversations are starting and continuing.
I love it. I love it. And I think that that's what it really is. You know, we were talking about it over the last couple of days, Kaylin, that, you know, people think that the segregation and racism exists in, you know, in our city sense. But, you know, we learned from our listeners that, you know, you also have it in small pockets in certain or in suburbs as well. Right. Where people live, how people interact. But we love the fact that we had Jamal on from my block, my hood, my city, and says you have to start first in your community and on your block. And I appreciate you for doing that within your respective area. And I hope that it bleeds out into the city of Chicago.
If there's anybody in Naperville that's listening right now, Kaylin, or in the surrounding areas that wants to get involved with, you know, what you guys are pushing forward and the efforts and continuing the conversation, how would they do that?
Sure. There's a bunch of different ways. And this is what our mayor and city councilman, Benny White, was talking about to the protesters on Monday. Get involved. Show up to city council meetings. They're every other Tuesday. You can watch them live online. Raise your hand. Say, I want to be involved as part of the change. Like I said, here at the Chamber, we do have a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee. We already put on one program, naperville.net. Go to our website and email us. Let us know what other programs you want to see, what else we can do to help. There's this group called Naperville Neighbors United. It's a community group getting together, people raising their hands. What can we do for change? I think that's what we're asking for ideas. We want to know what you want and come to the table and let's have a conversation.
Kaylin, I say it often, ideas are currency and we need a ton of it right now. On the way out, Kaylin, let me ask you this just quickly in 10, 15 seconds. What would your message to Chicago and the Chicagoland area be?
Thank you for standing up for necessary change. Mm. Thank you for being there. Thank you for coming together, helping clean up. We all need to be better, and I look forward to continuing the conversation.
I love it.
Thank you so much, Kaylin, the president and CEO at Naperville Area Chamber of Commerce.
You're tired of hearing about it. We're tired of talking about it. And that's what we're doing on this radio station, using it as a platform to do just that, so that way it becomes a little less uncomfortable. And, you know, I think certain moments pop up where it hits you in the face and you realize what's going on in the world. And, you know, that actually happened to Kelly Ripa. She was looking at a picture of her son. And then she started to think about all the Black moms across the country who don't get to celebrate this one thing she was contemplating.
It's my son's 23rd birthday today. I found this photo as I was going through boxes of old stuff. His first birthday. As I was looking at this photo, I became so overwhelmed because I think of how many mothers don't get to celebrate their son's birthdays. You know, anyway, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I just pray that there is peace and empathy in our nation. That's what I pray for today.
Chicago, the world, society. It's B96. Gabe and Nina in the morning on B96. It is time for lie detectors. And the person who thinks they're being lied to is Stephanie. Good morning.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, good morning.
All right, so what's going on with your boyfriend? Why do you think he's lying? What's happening?
Yeah, I don't really know. It's really weird, actually. He told me he was leaving Chicago just to get out for a bit. He needed some time, you know. We all know everything's been crazy for a little while.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, but there's something about it. I just feel like I don't think he went. I don't think he's going anywhere. Like,
okay, do you think it's like he's going to go visit some other woman? Do you think he's...
I don't know. That's my thing. Like, I feel weird about it. It feels off. I don't know if he's going off to go meet with somebody or what the hell's going on. So it's just that, you know,
yes,
it's just that
Stephanie,
feeling.
It is. It's that woman's intuition when your gut just starts yelling at you.
Guys,
okay. Yeah.
What, okay. Who's to say a guy can't just go visit? He said he went to go visit his friend, right?
No, he just said he wanted to go. He said he was just needed to get out for a bit.
But you're right. I mean, it could be his friend, so, but there's no harm in like trying to verify and then at least put your feelings to rest.
Has he been responding to your text messages, taking your phone calls?
I mean, not right away. It's just been, you know, here and there. We still talk every day, like a little bit.
Okay, that's good, though.
Not what we usually do.
Okay, Stephanie, now you did say he lives in an apartment building, right?
Yes.
Oh, well,
yes, lucky, in an apartment building.
Lucky for you. Nina has an amazing apartment building voice. We're going to call up Kevin.
Skills.
I think we got something in mind and how we can kind of get the truth out of him because that's what we do. Okay. We're the lie detectors. All right, so don't go anywhere, guys. In 3 minutes, we'll be right back. I will give Kevin a call and see if we can figure out the truth.
I'm ready.
I like it. It's okay. B96. We'll be right back. And we're back. It's Lie Detectors. Gabe and Nina on B96. Stephanie thinks that her man is somewhere that he's not. What a likely story, right? He said he went out of town, but she's not necessarily sure where she is. So we got, what do we want to call you, Nina? Super Nina? Because like you'll be like a super for the apartment building.
I could be Super Nina, or I could just be, yeah, okay, I'll be Super Nina. There's a ring to Super Nina. That name's going to stick, by the way.
All right, let's call Stephanie's boyfriend, Kevin, see if we can figure out the truth.
Hello?
Hi, is this Kevin?
Yeah.
Hi, Kevin. This is Janet. I'm calling with my building with management, and we've noticed that there's been leaking from the AC units on your floor. We're going to need to have access to your apartment today. Are you home?
Oh, wow. I'm home. I'll be home all week.
What the hell, dude?
Hello?
Kevin.
Hello? Hi, Kevin.
It's hot in your house because the AC's broken, but it's going to get hot on the phone right now because your girl Stephanie's here. Stephanie.
Yeah. What the hell, Kevin? Why are you lying?
Wait, what? Wait, hold on. What's going
on right now?
We are Gabe and Nina from B96. It's our morning show here in Chicago. And your girl Stephanie hit us up because you told her you've gone out of town. And you just told us that you're actually home.
We just needed to verify your whereabouts.
Seriously?
What the hell, man? I mean, why are you doing that? Like, what's the reason, though? Why would you lie to me about something stupid like that?
Oh, my gosh. I don't have a reason. I just wanted to get away for a while. I wanted to just be having peace in my home. Like, is that a problem?
Peace in your home?
You're supposed to be in a relationship.
Why would you lie about
it?
Yeah. Did you have other women coming to your house?
Peace in your home with someone else?
No, it's just me. See, that's the problem. But, yeah, once again, it's just me. Calm down. It's all right. It's not the end of the world or anything. So, I mean, once again, what's the big deal?
Calm down.
The big deal is you're lying to your girlfriend,
bro.
Kevin, do you want to be in this relationship?
Of course I want to be in a relationship, but she never gives me space when I want space for a while. And it's hard for her to understand that. So, yeah, I came up with a white lie.
Kevin, I don't know about a white lie. Why couldn't you just tell her that, though?
Right? I mean, is this the end of our relationship? Why do you need so much space from me? We don't even see each other all the time right now.
It's not the end of our relationship. Stop, okay? It's not the end of our relationship. It's not the end of the world. It's okay. We're not breaking up. I just wanted to have a little me time. Jeez.
What else are you lying to me about?
Kevin, if it's really just like this little bit of a white lie for you and you still want to be with Stephanie, maybe I would turn into more of an apologetic tone?
I'm not apologizing for wanting my own time. Now, I'm not doing that. Just because I want a little me time and just want to have a little bit of space away from you does not mean I have to apologize. I'm not apologizing. No.
You can apologize for lying.
Stephanie, I don't know, man. Kevin, I hate to say this on the phone because I'm all about team fellas. But Stephanie, this doesn't seem like the kind of guy you want to be with.
Mm-mm.
I know. I'm wondering the same thing myself.
It's just basic communication is really hard here.
Yeah. I mean, over something stupid.
I communicate.
No, actually, wow. Kevin, actually,
well,
don't
I know. Wait, let me communicate with everybody. I'm going to go on a trip tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
me too. I'll be back, guys.
I'll see you guys in a week.
Like, come on. That's so shady.
Okay. Both you guys hang on one second.
I'm glad he's not cheating.
Wait.
But
who's saying he's not cheating?
I just don't feel like you can trust somebody in a situation like this. This girl, I'd be so mad. I probably would have already rolled up to his house by now.
The lines are open right now.
Oh, you're home? I think my car can start. Here we go.
Oh, man.
I'm rolling up on you.
Super Nina turns into Spider Nina on the side of your house.
I can climb.
Listen, the lines are open. The phone number is 877-591-9696. Now, Nina, you brought up the first one that was really good. Is he lying? Or not lying. Is he cheating on it? Did he cheat during that time?
He just was so calm, so I didn't feel like he was being, like, squeamish.
Okay, do you think he's cheating? And here's the other part of that, and this is why I want you to call up, too. Again, the phone number, 877-591-9696. Here's the other problem, Nina. We've all been in the situation where we just want our own time.
Sure.
I've lied many a times to people.
Really? And
Nina, I know you have, too. Where you've been like, oh, I'm so busy, I can't make it out tonight. And you're literally sitting on your couch doing nothing.
To people, but not like my boyfriend.
I'm just saying, the point is that it exists, those moments. And sometimes it's difficult that somebody you're dating, sometimes you just want your alone time and you can't tell your partner, hey, you know what?
I just really want, I need 5 minutes alone, because you know what they're going to say? Or yeah. I want tonight alone. But what do you mean? What can I do? Did I do something wrong? I can help you. Let me fix it. It's like, no, I just don't want to be with you right now. I'd rather be by myself.
Can you be alone while I watch you?
877-591-9696. First and foremost, he said he just wanted some time by himself. Mm. Do you think he cheated during that time? That's interesting. Mm. And then second, what are your thoughts on the whole, I just want to be by myself and I don't want to be bothered by you? 877-591-9696.
I'm not apologizing for wanting my own time. Now, I'm not doing that.
Gabe and Nina in the morning on B96. We just got out of lie detectors. Nicole in Glendale Heights. He said he just wanted a little bit of time. Do you buy that? Or?
No, not at all. This guy's a liar.
Well, we know he's
a liar. We know he's a liar. We caught him up in the lie.
No, she needs to get rid of him. She can't listen to any of his excuses. You can tell by the tone of his voice that he's hiding something. The fact that he's not even willing to apologize, he's definitely hiding more than his falsification.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then, Nicole. What about the other side of that? The whole, like, you just want some time by yourself. Are we not giving any validity to that whatsoever?
Okay, but why didn't he just say that? You're in a relationship.
That's what I
want some alone time.
Okay.
Right.
877-591-9696. Nina, just because, for the same reason I said earlier, because you cannot look your girl in the face and be like, and she's like, hey, babe, you want to come over for dinner tonight? You know how difficult it is to look her in the face and be like, no, I want to just sit on my couch and watch sports and play PlayStation.
But so if you lie and you say, like, I have to go to my grandma's, like, party, right. And then you're going to have somebody like me calling up to verify your whereabouts.
I guess
and
so.
Then your relationship could be over. Lying never leads to anything good. Lisa.
Maybe some alone time.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of alone time when you're single. Lisa in Evergreen Park. So you just heard all of this. Do you think he's cheating on her?
I was thinking two things, because I've been cheated on, but it could be one of two things. Either she's clingy and he's backing off because she's clingy, but then he would let her go. But then guys also pull back when they're falling in love.
Mm.
And maybe, you know, they do that and you're supposed to leave them alone and then they retract back. So I was thinking it could go either way. And I give him the benefit of the doubt. He still wants to be with her, so maybe she's not a clingy.
He did say that. He did say that. Maybe he wants his cake and eat it too.
Lisa.
What's wrong with what she said? What's problematic about that statement?
I appreciate what he said. I mean, I'm sorry. I appreciate what you said. But Lisa, if some guy you're seeing tells you he's taking a vacation for a week and you find out that he didn't go anywhere, are you really being like, well, he's falling in love with me, so he needs to pull back.
At first I did think like he should have been honest with her about it. But then I thought, well, you're not going to be, if you are falling in love and you need a little space, you're trying to find any reason like to get your thoughts together. And guys are like that. They'll pull back.
Yeah.
I know.
When they are doing that.
So sometimes.
And you got to leave them alone.
Yes, Lisa. Sometimes we're not equipped in the same way to handle those things. And we got to do other things.
You got to go on vacation.
Listen, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's get a guy on the phone. Darius.
I'm falling in love.
In Waukegan. Good morning.
I love that, though. I'm sorry. At least I'm not laughing at you. I love the concept.
Darius,
good morning. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. All right, it's good to get a male's perspective on here.
Yeah.
Let me first ask you this, Darius. Isn't it difficult when you want some alone time to tell your significant other to break her heart and be like, I want alone time, and that alone time doesn't mean alone time with you? Isn't that difficult?
It is.
Of course it is, Darius.
What would that sound like, Darius? I'm your girl, and you're trying to get away from me. What are you going to say?
And I'm
okay, now it's real difficult.
All right, Darius.
Yeah,
what do you think?
It is. You know, I wasn't in a hot seat at first, so right. I was able to answer, but now it's me. I don't know how I was saying it, but I would just try to be like, you know, babe, I need space. Like, we're spending too much time with each other. My mind, I'm going crazy. Like,
Darius, you know how long that conversation is going to last when you finish that sentence? When you're like, hey, I just want my space, da-da-da. There's going to be 17 follow-up questions to that one right there. And then you're going to be like, this is what I didn't want. I wanted peace, and I can't get... Listen, I'm just saying, I just identify with the guy. I feel bad for him. Thanks, Darius. Okay. Do I think he was cheating? Do I think something shady there? Very, very possible.
Okay, but if there wasn't anything shady there, and you identify for his reason to need space, how do you think that she's supposed to react to that? Is she supposed to walk away from this relationship, or is she supposed to dig deeper and understand why he had to lie about needing space?
I think you know your boyfriend and your partner better than anyone else, mm-hmm. right? And Nina, we've all been in this situation where we take back cheaters or we take back liars or whatever it might be.
Right.
And in this situation, if he's saying that, you have to then say, okay, is my man so shady and has he been leading up to this point that I think he's lying to me? If mm-hmm. that's the case, then yes, you should leave him. However,
like you said, the other caller said, he still wants to be in a relationship with her. He explained that, you know, she's all over him and he just wanted some space. And in his mind, this was the best way to go about doing it. And in that moment, I think personally, maybe there's only men calling up right now. I just want to say
that. I'm actually, you know what? I'm very interested to see what another guy has to say about it. I'm really curious.
All right, Ben, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Morning.
Okay, so you said you've actually lied to get some space before.
Yeah, because, you know, maybe she's just smothering them with things she wants to do. That's like my situation.
Exactly. I get it. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to...
Smothered with love.
JR.
I love you so much, and you're still gonna...
JR, do you think he's cheating?
To be honest, it could go either way, but I don't think so. All men need their space. You know, they're not married yet, so of course you need his own time to think about stuff.
Well said.
I respect the need for time. Yeah. I hear all of you guys when you say that. As a woman, I need it too. But JR, if you need your space, do you have to lie about it? Like, in your own life, are you lying about it to get it?
Like Gabe said, it's hard to break a woman's heart saying that, because off the bat, you guys expect us to be, you know, your best friends and everything, and it's hard to look you in the eye and say, hey, baby, I need a week away from you.
Exactly.
I don't know about you ladies that are listening, but as I hear all of you guys talk about the different lies that are being told for them to get their space, now I'm going to start questioning everything. Wait, you're going on a walk? Yeah, right.
I just want my space. Kaylin, good morning.
Hi, Kaylin.
Good morning.
All right, what do you think about this situation, this lie detectors?
I mean, no lie is good, but... If you're going to lie about something, I would hope you could come up with a better lie than that.
Going out of town! You're so stupid! Say I'm spending the night at my mom's house. Say I'm going out of town.
He's lucky she didn't show up.
Kaylin, let me ask you this. Do you think that there's something else happening with someone else? Or do you buy the lie buy the statement that he wants time by himself?
I mean, I feel like it's like you needing space is a pretty easy thing to like tell someone. I mean, I know what you were saying about, you know, well, what your girl's going to say back to that and like feel you're going to hurt her feelings. But I mean, come on, like that's okay. Really simple.
I hear you, Kaylin. Let's do what Nina was trying to do earlier in the show. Watch this one right here, Kaylin.
Okay,
I'm
going to
drop the music. Kaylin, ask me to come over tonight because you're making dinner and hanging out.
Hey, you know, we haven't seen each other in a little bit. Yeah. I thought I could make you some dinner and, like, we can watch some Netflix.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know what, babe? I know you really want me to come over there. We haven't seen each other, but, you know, today's been extremely difficult. I've been talking about race all day on the radio station, and I just need some time to kind of be by myself. No shade at you, though. Oh, that breaks my heart saying that out loud. Kaylin? See? She hates it. But I made you a dinner.
I know, I was going to say, but I made enough meatballs.
You're like, but I did this. What are you talking about? I get it, guys. All right, Kaylin, thanks so much for the call. Guys, next week, Wednesday, a brand new lie detectors where we can weigh in and find out whether a girl or a guy, we will find out the lie. It's B96. Justin Bieber, Quavo right here on B96. We are Gabe and Nina, Chicago station. So let's not forget, B96 still got street cred. Oh, wait. Does it? I don't know. Let's somebody come Jason first.
If you got it all on in your car right now.
Maybe.
You're about to lose all of it now.
Yeah,
right.
Me. We're hoping that bringing you on gives us some more street cred. We got Jason Goff on the line. From everything, this guy is the sports guru, but also extremely powerful when it comes to social justice. Jason and I, we've known each other for over a decade. And, you know, when you're following each other on social media and you see things, you can really get a snapshot of how people really feel and get a temperature for where their heart is. Mm. And, you know, where your heart is, Jason, is in the right place. And the reason why I wanted to have you on, not only to talk about, you know, what's going on in our city, but more importantly, first and foremost, I want to talk about what you've been doing in these last couple of days with the cleanup around the city.
Well, guys, I want to start by thanking you guys for having me on your show. And Gabe, especially you for asking me. I've turned down a lot of these because, unfortunately, in these times like this, where, you know, things are happening to people that look like me, everybody phones in to their black friend and says, how can we, you know, when is this going to stop? And, you know, what can we do? And then all of a sudden, whoever the black guy is that you are aware of, whether it's socially, professionally, financially, whatever the case may be, or if you see him out or if you see me on TV or whatever the case may be, then I have to come up with a lot of answers that honestly I don't have, man. Like, all I am is the father of a beautiful black little boy who I don't want to see anything happen to. And I don't want to see anything happen to boys that look like him and girls that look like him, as well as all the other people that are in his atmosphere. But the only way that we could do that is to rely on people to take care of us as well. We are all neighbors in this city. And the problem that I'm having is all we're doing, well, not all, because this is the other thing, too. I'm not a community organizer. There are men and women who have been on the turf for decades, years, months, weeks, whatever the case may be, because there's a lot of new ones being sprouted up, and I appreciate it. I'm not that guy, right? I'm just a dude who has a Twitter, you know, account and an Instagram account, and people rock with me in certain ways. But now is the time for, if you rock with me, come help out or help somebody out around you that doesn't look like you. You know, people got mad on Twitter because after the weekend of crying and devastation and destruction and death and all the things that we witnessed, I said, yo, tomorrow I'm going out to try to help clean up black businesses. And if you don't want to roll, I can dig it. People can't, you know, some people got to work. People got families. Yeah. I have both of those things. I've missed a few assignments over the last few days. And I pray to Kevin Cross and NBC Sports. I don't think I'm just, you know what I mean?
I'm trying
to make sure like nobody catches me like taking a bite of a sandwich because they were like, oh, Jay ain't doing nothing out here, right? But the issue is, We gotta hold each other down before it gets to this point.
Yeah.
You know, like Gabe, you just had a baby, right?
Yeah.
I have not met your child yet.
I know.
But I promise you, all the great things that I ever wanted for my kid, I want for yours.
Same.
And this is the problem, my guy. We're not connected enough. So when the you know what goes down, all of a sudden it's time to scramble. By that time, it's too late. We got to start holding each other down and holding people accountable that are around us.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something right now. People that are around me know they can't talk crazy about the Mexican homies or the Puerto Rican homies or the Colombian homies. And when I'm in that room, you hold me down. But please believe you should hold me down when I'm not in that room. And that goes for people who know police officers who aren't living right.
Yep.
Let me tell you something right now. Yesterday on the West Side, Sergeant Allen pulled up on us and saw us cleaning out that lot and was like, what y'all need? I can get Streets and Sands to come here and pick up these bags.
That's awesome.
Yeah, about 15, 20 bags. Sergeant Allen then put, you know, one kid who walked up on us, kid named Eric from the city, like from the area. I thought he had on a traffic, like one of those traffic neon vests.
Yeah.
So I'm like, who brought my man? All of a sudden, this kid, special needs kid, starts helping out.
Wow.
He starts picking up trash in his community and picking up bottles and glass. And I was trying to make sure he was being safe. Then Sergeant Allen threw him in the back of the car, and he took him to the next spot with us.
Wow.
Now, Eric was a little tuckered out by that point, but he was you know what I'm saying? His energy was necessary. And this is what I'm talking about. We can't wait until this city is broken up. We can't wait until this country is broken up for us to start activating. We got to activate before this crap happens.
Yeah.
And then when it does happen, I got to make sure that the allies that rock with me because they like basketball or because they like the music I wear or because they like all the things that embody my blackness, I need them to rock with me when it's really time. It's time to call people out and hold people accountable and put pressure on, keep applying pressure to people that you know aren't moving right. It's a lot more. In the specific issue right now is police brutality, and that needs to, you know, end racism and all that other stuff. We keep saying it, and it ain't working. So now we got to activate. We got to do more. And if your allies, the people that don't look like you, aren't willing to do more, well, then maybe you need to change your circles because people are telling you how they really feel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like people, you know, in our situations, right, it's like, yes, we have a voice. Yes, we're on, like you said, you have a Twitter handle, a TV show, whatever that might be. And, you know, yes, we're reporting on, like for me, pop culture, for you, sports. But at the same time, we're still human beings that live in this city and have our opinions and our just causes. And I think that that's what's important because you're right. When the person that's next to you, it's like, okay, you rock with me for this reason, but I want you to rock with me across the board if you're really rocking with me in that sense.
And if you can't, I'm cool with it.
Right.
That's the thing. If you can't, I'm cool with it. But it's line drawing time now because I don't and I keep saying this and this is why I haven't been doing a lot of these, Gabe, because it's not only is it redundant to me now because it should seem obvious, like, for instance, right, like the term social justice, man, social justice really has become the new, I don't want to talk about this with this person kind of, you know, category, right?
Right, right.
Like it's like when people used to pull out the term race card. I'm like, fam, I don't know what a race card is. All I know is that when I tell you I'm hurting and I'm black, that's the truth for me.
Listen up.
I've been in a rage for the last 3 days, but I got to smile. I got to make sure my son's energy is correct.
Yeah.
You know, I got to make sure that his mother is feeling protected. You know what I mean? Those things. And I feel like I'm failing at all those things because I can't get a hold of this. That's 3 days worth of this that people are viewing. Now, just imagine years and years and years of having to walk around with that kind of weight and that kind of pressure around your white counterparts and not be able to talk to them. Yeah. About it for fear of being ostracized, yeah, or downright let go.
Yeah, and I think that's the other issue, right? I think when you're talking about that, I think you got to understand that when you're voicing yourself and you're speaking, it's just that. It is just that. It's you, and people need to just be more.
I'm crying out to y'all.
That. Of course, you got to be more compassionate. On the
that's
line,
what it is.
We got Jason Goff, a good friend of mine, works all over the city. You know exactly who he is. We have him on the line, and again, I wanted to talk about because you said it yourself. You said it's not my position to have to educate and inform. And you know what? We've actually been saying that for the last 3 days. To Nina and I, we've been saying that where it's like it's not the job of a person of color to then make you feel good and validate what it is that you're feeling in that moment. Go yourself and educate yourself so that way the burden is not placed on them, especially during a time like right now.
But I think that, and Jason, you have said a lot, and I'm absorbing it. I know everybody that's listening to you is as well. But as many times as we've said that on the show, Jason, and I told Gabe this even the other day, this, as simple as things may seem, as obvious as it may seem, that made me feel like I needed to be more accountable to educate myself and to get answers. And something else that you said that seems like it would be so simple, it's just that when your friend, your person is not in the room, when somebody else is not in the room, what are you doing?
Yep.
Are you standing quiet? Even though you have your feelings, you love that person, or you love these things, it's okay to be reminded. And I'm glad you said it again. And we keep saying it again. And so, yeah, Jason, it's important. Yeah. And thank you for saying it again.
Yeah, no, that's the hardest time, though, right? You know what I mean? Like, think about it. Anybody could apply pressure to a stranger, but applying pressure to somebody that's in your circle for a stranger is hard. It's hard. Trust me. I know none of this is easy, right? If it was easy, it'd be over tomorrow.
Right.
But for all the people out there who are handling business and understand what investments really need, like investments need research, investments need trends, investments need future outlooks. Well, if you truly are investing in people that don't look like you, do it all the way.
All the way.
I love that. And yes, exclamation point. Yes.
I appreciate you coming on the show. Oh, no, go ahead.
And I just want to finish with this. I promise you, Gabe, you know, dog, this is the reason why I don't pick up that these last 3 days, you know, the whole, you know, I'm organizing thing. I'm just hollering at people because, Gabe, you know me, fam. Anybody that's seen me out these last 3 days, they're like, yeah, but I know Jay has a good time. And I know Jay, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
living.
I get it in. I have a ball. I try to live my life. And that's the problem. I am 40 years old. I want to make sure that my son gets to live as full a life as I think I have lived. And all these little black and brown babies out here, I want to make sure, dude, we cleaning up this glass to help these damaged storefronts and all these other things, but I promise you, not in the back of my mind, in the front of my mind, these babies getting ready to walk around out here. And having them see these busted out windows and walking on glass and playing, man, we cleaned out a lot yesterday. And immediately these kids started playing stickball in it.
Oh, good.
Like that's what I'm talking about. It ain't about trying to rise up and make sure that our presence is known. It's about trying to make sure that everybody feels like mental health and all these things, these buzzwords that people are talking about.
Yeah.
Man, people are damaged out here. So try to help. try to clean up, try to help somebody. I have looked every brother and sister in the eye the last 3 days on the west side and the south side and engaged with and spoken to as many of them as possible. And you can tell it's the first time in a long time
yes.
that somebody from outside of their neighborhood has given a damn about them. Old lady came up to me yesterday, and I know y'all got to run. Old lady came up to me yesterday and said, yo, after we packed up, she looked me in the face and said, it touches my heart because I've been watching y'all for the last hour or so from my stoop. And it really touches my heart that there are white people in this neighborhood that care about it. And for all the white brothers and sisters that have been showing up the last couple of days, I truly appreciate you because I'm going to keep it as funky as I need to. There's a lot of people, and I'm not trying to put pressure on them, but there's a lot of people who I know haven't been doing anything the last 3 days except for texting and tweeting me and hitting me up on the side like you're doing a good job. Man, this ain't about me. It's not about me. I'm not no community organizer. I am a dude who grew up in Evanston. My grandmother grew. I was on the weekends. I was on 8845 South State Street for 18, 19 years every single weekend. I've seen both sides of what people think is life. And I promise you, man, if the people that I used to hang out with on the weekends on the South Side got the opportunities that I got when my parents moved me to Evanston, their lives would be the same. I'm 100%. Nothing special, my guy. You know that. I just got an opportunity. We got to start letting people outside of our realm feel this love and get these opportunities. And it starts by just cleaning up and helping people's neighborhoods after all this. Because it's going to happen again, Gabe.
Exactly. I've literally said, Jay, I said this on the radio already. It's like, there's no change that's happening tomorrow. Like, it's going to happen again. You know what I mean? But you've got to be prepared. And if you're listening to Jason's voice, understand what he just said. You in the car are just like him, a regular human being that can pick up and go help out in whatever way that is possible. Jason, I appreciate you.
And I know, and I know you guys got to go, man, to the Mexican homies. Listen, I partied with y'all all summer last summer. All summer. Listen, guys, I know B96 has a huge Hispanic and Latino base. To the Mexican homies, to the homies that think that brothers are at war with y'all right now, let me tell you something. I know the pride and the ego in both those factions, and nobody's going to back down. And guess what we're going to be left with? A bunch of dead people.
Yep, nothing.
So this is something that maybe your white listeners don't know that's going on right now, but there is a war going on outside right now between the Mexican homies and the black homies. And that's not cool. That's not cool in the least. You got two sides that are being, that feel like, you know, I got nothing to lose, so let's get it on. And guess what? All those families are like the little girls and the little boys who listening to B96 this morning, they all know somebody who's ready to do something.
But no fear of consequence.
Yeah, and we gotta de-escalate these. We keep telling police, learn how to de-escalate things, learn how to not, you know, pull that trigger so quick or stomp a man's life out so quick. Bro, this is a separate issue that I'm speaking to now.
Yeah.
And if people are upset about it, I can dig it. I don't give a damn.
No, not on this show.
I don't think anybody is upset,
not
Jason.
Not y'all. I'm talking about this. Obviously going to be people who are like, yo, I didn't tune in this morning for this. Well, guess what? Your reprieve and your distractions are the reason why we keep going through these cycles and keep having to cry out to y'all. So to the Mexican homies and the Hispanic homies who feel like, all right, it's on now, I promise you it shouldn't be.
I agree.
Especially in this time, there's no time ever that has been more important for black people and brown people
come together
to be on the same accord.
100%.
There's been no time ever. We dying out here due to coronavirus. We gonna top it off now with an inner city war?
Last thing we need.
Cicero, all these things, like all these places where the Mexican homies feel like they gotta, you know, strap and armor up now. That's not the move, guys. Because guess what? When this is over, the people that have been locking both of us up are going to come in. Yeah, the rent's going to be due. After the riots and everything and the looting and the protesting subsides, the people who don't like the both of us have been keeping notes, and they can't wait to come through. So So let's let the last 2 days be the end of it. If anything I've said resonates with any person that's heard me, I am definitely shouting out to the Mexican homies. Man, fellas, I have told the people that I know that's not the move. Y'all got to tell y'all people too, because we need y'all as well.
I appreciate you just bringing that to the light on the station, because, you know, we've tried to talk about it, you know, but it's such a sensitive subject. You're not sure who's really, but like when our timelines are filled with those kind of things, the hate from you know, black and brown, and you know where it's happening, and you know that anger that's inside. I think there's no better way to say it than to understand from two people. You got a Puerto Rican guy and a black dude on the radio right now talking and telling you guys there's love between us and there needs to be love in the city. Jason, I appreciate you joining the show and coming out. Thank you so much for giving us your time.
Thank you, Jason.
I appreciate y'all. Y'all be cool. And, you know, Justin Bieber and Quavo is cool.
You better
cool,
shut
bro.
Up.
Okay, bye. You better shut up.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.